Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to the BizNews Daybreak. Today is Wednesday, the 19th of August. I'm Patrick Kidd. Outa CEO Wayne Duvenage addressed delegates at BNC9 last week. He made the case that South Africa doesn't have to wait for government to fix itself and unpacked what citizen-led oversight actually looks like when it works.
Whenever we discuss fixing South Africa, we tend to gravitate towards talking about how government should fix our criminal justice system, how we need stronger law enforcement, and of course, we do. We got powerful insights of that yesterday from Ian Cameron. We need a stronger national prosecuting authority in IDAC. The Madlanga Commission gives us testament to that. So I agree with those completely. But while we're waiting for government to play its role and its part in addressing these issues, which, by the way, is starting to happen in some of these areas, we can and we must do more with citizen-led initiatives that make the country corruption-proof. And with AI technology today, it's a lot easier to do, even from the outside. So we can't simply rely on accountability being driven from within the state and led by corrupt when it is led by corrupt mindsets of a political party such as the ANC. We need to apply external citizen-led initiatives that provide meaningful and independent oversight, which acts as a firewall between poor governance and corruption. Every successful organization understands that leaders do not operate without independent challenges. Boards and audit committees and risk committees, their roles are not simply to approve decisions. Their roles are to ask the uncomfortable questions, to challenge assumptions, to demand evidence, and to protect the institutions from abuse. So when those firewalls become strong, poor decisions are stopped before they become scandals. But when they are weak, corruption doesn't have to break in. It just simply walks through the front door. And the encouraging news is that what we've recently started seeing is what happens when courageous people enter these systems. New boards, new executives. And the minister, Dean McPherson, yesterday is an example of that. And I'll touch on what is happening there quite shortly. But public servants who quietly refuse to compromise their principles and insist on proper processes instead of political convenience are the individuals that become the obstacles to corruption. Unfortunately, so often they do pay the price with their lives and their livelihoods. But when they stand their ground and when they are empowered by civil society, they can succeed. And when they succeed, we all succeed.
Also from BNC9, IRR CEO John Endres presented fresh polling data on where ANC support now stands across every core constituency ahead of the local government elections, and what South African voters have consistently said they actually want from government.
For almost two decades, we've been asking South Africans what the top two priorities are that they want the government to address, and the first ranked item has been jobs for as long as we've been running this poll. Items 2 through 5 were all related to the rule of law and law enforcement. In order, they were illegal immigration, the abuse of women or children, corruption, and crime or safety and security. Those are followed by a slew of service delivery-related issues like water, electricity, education, and housing. And only then, at the very bottom of the list, do you get to the more ideological issues that dominate the headlines. BEE, land reform, racism, inequality. It's not that those things don't matter, but they pale in importance in comparison to the ones at the top of the list. And what this means is that what South Africa's voters are looking for is perfectly normal and reasonable. The fact that they're not getting what they want is leading to frustration, and it is the main factor driving the decline of the ANC in survey after survey. And that brings me to the outlook on the local government elections. Here I rely on data recently gathered by the Social Research Foundation and the Common Sense. So Franz Cronje is behind both of these initiatives. And those organizations conducted a poll among over 2,000 registered voters last month in July. For ANC strategists, the most concerning finding is that support for their party has dropped below 50% in every core constituency. Among rural voters, it is 39%. Among black voters, 36%. Among township residents, 32%. And in established suburbs, so among middle and upper class voters of all races, ANC support is at 3%. So that's the big picture.
Next, Reuters gives us the latest wrap from Wall Street. Here's what moved U.S. markets overnight.
Wall Street closed lower Tuesday, with the Dow falling about a quarter of 1%, the S&P 500 slipping more than 2/3%, and the NASDAQ sliding 1.3%. Technology stocks dropped, with semiconductors suffering the steepest declines, as Middle East uncertainty pushed bond yields to multi-year peaks, feeding concerns about borrowing costs and inflation. Gina Martin Adams, chief market strategist with HB Wealth, says she thinks bonds will remain a driving force for stocks for several months.
I think the biggest threat to the equity market right now is the bond market, not the equity market itself. With yields rising, we have to really consider what we're willing to pay for stocks, because of yields, of course, represent the discount rate for those future cash flows that equities tend to trade on. So I do think that the market is going to see its focus shift from earnings as the predominant driver of growth to potentially yields in the fall, as we have limited amount of earnings information that is coming out. This could create a rockier path forward for equities, particularly relative to the very robust pace of gains that we've experienced so far this year.
Investors flocked to more defensive sectors such as healthcare and consumer staples, while the rise in energy prices gave a lift to energy stocks. Individual stocks on the move included Baidu. U.S.-listed shares of the Chinese search company plunged nearly 13% as its revenue missed estimates. And Norwegian Cruise Line declined 3% after broker Mizuho downgraded the stock to neutral from outperform, citing construction delays among other reasons.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
BizNews journalist Chris Stain spoke to South African ad fraud investigator Mark De Lewin about where your digital advertising budget is actually going. He broke down the two main ways fraud works, fake traffic and hidden ad placements, and why most brands have no idea it's happening.
There are two significant sources of ad fraud. And remember that, predicating all of this, an advertiser spends money wanting to put an advert in front of a human being. They cannot, no advertiser ever says, I want proof that somebody saw my ad. The proof you want is that your ad was placed in a position where somebody could see it. It's as simple as that. And so we look for any anomaly that may indicate the fact that either the traffic that caused an ad to load in the digital ecosystem, unlike back in the old days, we opened a magazine or turned a page in a newspaper or turned on a television or the radio. In the digital space, it takes traffic, as in a human saying, I want to look at this website. And that creates, if you want, the advertising opportunity. The website's not sitting there with ads on it saying, where's my human? So on the one hand, you get non-human traffic initiating ad calls. So on the one hand, it's the traffic, and let's call it fake traffic, or in our industry, IVT, invalid traffic. The other is the conscious manipulation of the ad space itself. So whilst it may or may not have been human traffic that initiated the ad call, the ad is not placed in a position where a human could ever have seen it. It's hidden.
That's your Daybreak for Wednesday, the 19th of August. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. I'm Patrick Kidd for BizNews.com.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.